Hello, you're listening to Pixel Pixel, where the X is silent, but the Santa Ana winds most definitely are not. This is episode 123. I'm one of your hosts, Anne, and with me, as always, is my lovely husband and co-host, Marcus.
Hello.
Hello. It has been windy, has it not?
Yeah, it has been.
I assume that people who don't live in California still would have heard of the Santa Ana winds. Like, it's a famous thing, isn't it?
I don't know, but I think it is, because I remember one time when I first went to Japan and went on a tour, and there was like another American family, and I don't know, we got on the topic of where we're all from. And they were like, oh, the Santa Ana winds, we've heard of them.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And before that, I was like, I don't know that anyone would know if they weren't from that California. Area. But
yeah, SoCal.
I guess people do know.
Yeah.
Some people.
Yeah. And the thing is, Santa Ana winds are like all over SoCal. So
yes,
it blows in from the Santa Ana Mountains, right? And then does it always bring hot air?
I think that's part
of
it.
That seems to be the thing.
And they're called that because it like happens over Santa Ana, but the winds go all over SoCal, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, the reason we're talking about this weather event is because we went to a market for me to vend at this past weekend, and it was so windy. I think the weather forecast said maximum wind gust of up to 60 miles per hour.
Yeah.
So, yes, they had this predicted really high wind gust, and the market went forward. But we arrived at, like, probably 8 in the morning to set up, and it was already very windy. I remember waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and I was, like, hearing the wind, like, gusting outside. And, you know, when it gets really bad, it blows the trees, and they hit our window. And I was like, oh, no, already, like, overnight, mm-hmm. I was getting worried. Was like crossing my fingers and toes that the wind had died down. It did not. And we went ahead with it. Luckily, I would say the kind of stuff I have is not super fragile, right? I mean,
yeah.
I guess the plushy taxidermies I've been doing are the most fragile thing, in that if they did hit the ground, they might break.
Hit the ground.
I guess they did. They were fine, right? And I got these really heavy-duty magnets that were, like, amazing. So it wasn't even really an issue. But anyway, I don't have a lot of, like, glass or really fragile things. So I was feeling comfortable to go ahead with it. But it was intense. Oh, and then there was a whole, not, like, scare, I guess, but a surprise that the local, like, California fire warden was going to come by and check up on this flea market because they're relatively new, and they had to make sure that everyone was following, you know, the market guidelines and regulations regarding your tents. So if you get one of these, like, big 10 by 10 tents, it's something that you might see at, like, a sports game people use, or at the park and things, or, of course, at markets, like a farmer's market or a flea market or what have you. There is a regulation here, at least in California. I don't know if all the states are the same, but you supposedly need 40-pound weights per leg. And we were both like, wait, that's not 40 total, like 10 per leg. You know, that seems like more normal. 40 per leg is a lot of weight. But we scrounged up some weights. Luckily, since you're a workout king, mm-hmm. you're a home gym king, you have all of these weights sitting around that we could use. But there was a bit of an effort to lug them into the car and lug them over. Mm-hmm. But we had them available. And they only told us, like, 2 days before the event. They're like, oh, hey, by the way, the fire warden's coming by, and you have to have this. I had no idea that was a regulation. So we had to make sure we had that. You also have to make sure you have a, like, compliant tent. And they have a little, like, sticker or label sewn into them. And I, like, didn't even know if my tent had that either. So I was, like, panicking, but we found it, and that was all fine. But when we got there on the day, it all made sense of why 40 pounds per leg is needed, because even with the 40 pound legs, I know you were like hanging on to one of the legs of the tent half the time, like worried that it was going to fly off because it was so windy.
Yeah.
It was wild. And like, I've been at home when it's been windy with the Santa Ana winds before, but never out and about. And yeah, it was dust everywhere, wind everywhere. All the different vendors were like just trying to keep their stuff from blowing away. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of a mess. I feel like our first two vending experiences have both been a bit interesting. The first one was more quiet, but, you know, different. And now this one. So I'm certainly getting a lot of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But even despite the wind, we got some sales, which was nice.
Yeah, people still came out.
Yeah.
More than the other.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And I'm going to try out the same market again. It's like a monthly one. So we'll try it again next month. And hopefully there won't be winds this time. Unfortunately, some folks didn't fare as well as we did. And like one gal had stickers out and they just all blew away. We all ran and tried to collect them. So I think she got most of them back.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people had antiques and I heard some crashes throughout the day. And I think a couple of people opted not even to show up at all. And yeah, it was just a bit of a mess, but that's what happens when you vend outdoors. So that was our second market experience. As for other life news, we attended CitrusCon. I don't know how many, is this like the fourth, fifth CitrusCon?
I don't know.
There have been a few. You've attended all of them. Maybe?
Yeah.
Many of them. I think I've attended many, if not all. It's an online. Originally, I think it was focused on a BL, but it's your general, what would you say? Boys love and girls love, or just...
It's majority boys love.
Majority boys love fan convention held online. Yeah, a little bit of girls love, a little bit of other kinds of stuff, but majority boys love. Yeah, we focused.
Mm-hmm.
And all held online. Over 3 days, actually. It started on Friday and then went through Saturday and Sunday. A really nice range of panels, I think. You know, more industry-type panels. So, like, 7Cs and, oh, gosh, what is the site's name? You know, the one with the long name, like, Ganu, Me, or the DL site.
DL sites, yeah. Whatever.
So, part. DL site has, like, a BL or women's. I think it was just their women-focused, women media site, like Jose Muque stuff. Has a different name. But anyway, they were there. They had brought a voice actor, which was really fun. So we were in that panel. As I said, 7Cs. I think Yen Press also had a panel. Mm-hmm. Renta might have had a panel.
Yes.
Lots of industry stuff. And then you had more kind of like academic-y kind of panels with like Erica Friedman. And then someone was talking about... homoeroticism in mythology, or, you know, throughout history, like in Greece and in Japanese history and China and things like that. So yeah, those type of things. And then more, I guess what you would say, traditional like fan activities, like watching anime together, watching a game, or talking about favorite ships and things like that. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. We went to a handful of panels live, and one that we wanted to shout out here today was friend of the show and Chick Pixel Pals Discord member Kaito AL. Kaito had a zine panel. I think this is at least their second year doing the panel, if not more. And it was really fascinating. I learned some stuff, and I thought it was really well put together. Like when you attend an event like this, you get all different types of people, right, presenting. And Kaito really seemed like they were experienced in presenting, were experienced in explaining things in a way that was interesting and made sense and was straightforward and just really informative. And I thought it was so well done. So I was really, really impressed. And you were inspired to set up something that they introduced in this panel, like, pretty much right away.
Yeah. Yeah, so as part of, like, talking about different tools or things, Kaito brought up this Rizzo printing software tool that exists that I'd never heard of before. I didn't even ever think about it. I mean, I know what a Rizzo printer is. I've seen zines made with it, and it's cool. But I was just like, okay, so, well, we're never going to get a Rizzo printer, so I'm never going to think about it again, basically. But what this software does is it actually lets you kind of upload an image and then output it in the style of like risograph printing. So it's like less, it's like, what is it, like 3 colors or something? But anyway, yeah. So it gives you that effect and you can do various modifications to it. It's like much more fancy than if you just use like a Photoshop filter or something. It's like got more nuance to it, and I think that's why it's its own software. Anyway, it's really cool. And it turns out it can be self-hosted. And I have a server, so I put it on the server.
I like how you had to say that. I have a server, if you've mm-hmm. forgotten, mm-hmm. if you're new here.
Yeah. So you can use it, or we can use it and play
yeah.
around with it.
Yeah, you asked me for an image so you could start testing it, mm-hmm. and just seeing, like, very preliminary look at it seems very cool. So I would love to use that to play around with, you know, doing different things in my images and mm-hmm. stuff. And I was actually inspired to get my butt moving on a zine I've yeah. kind of been working on, like, very slowly. I wanted to do a 3DS fan zine of, like, just, like, sharing my collection, since I have way too many 3DSs. And everyone seems to be kind of reminiscing about the 3DS lately, 3DS and DS. And so I had pictures taken, but then... Kaito is, I really love this. It's like, so, you know, when people give tips, sometimes it's like, okay, here's all the stuff you should use. And then this is how you should do it. And this is how you should get started. And Kaito was really adamant about, you know, just start where you can with whatever you have. And I think that's one of the things that's really great about the zine community, is like, zine culture is very much about use what you have. You don't have to go out buy any special tools. Like, just use, you know, some paper you've got lying around and cut up a magazine or cut up a newspaper, or, you know, use free resources, things like that. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to get started. So I started working on my 3DS scene some more, and I'm pretty far along, but I'll definitely be sharing that when that's done. And I was just thinking it would be fun to play around with, like, the Rizzo thing and see, like, how it looks with the different mm-hmm. effects on. So that could be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you gotta make a zine too.
Okay.
Okay. And yeah, wait, I know Kaito has a lot of resources related to zines, and one of their past panels is on their website. So we'll definitely link to whatever resources are available in the show notes. As for news, I remember I said in the last episode that the Pokemon event was going to happen. The yes. live stream for Pokemon 30th was literally happening the next day. And of course, there was probably going to be some sort of announcement. And there was. There were a few things, I think, actually. But the main one, obviously, being Generation 10 was announced. Winds and Waves. And I think it had the best bait and switch for us, anyway, that they could have had. Do you remember what happened, Marcus?
kind of. I remember, isn't it like kind of you're in the video plays of, like, you're in a house with Pikachu, mm-hmm. and it's like cutesy and like chill, and then like Pikachu goes open the door, and then it's these two horrible Pikachus at the door, wearing clothing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what is this?
It's like grandma and grandpa visiting from Florida or something. I don't know, like a male and female Pikachu in, like, really ugly humanoid clothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were both like, oh no. And I was thinking it's some spin-off game, like Pikachu Island or something. That's what I was thinking, mm-hmm. until they started, like, showing more scenery and showing different Pokemon. And then I was like, oh, maybe they're finally trying to lean into the open world Pokemon thing that everybody wants, you know. And then they brought in the starters, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, okay, well, it's the next generation of Pokemon games, which is exciting, always exciting. And I thought two of the three were quite cute, mm-hmm. of the new starters, the dog and the bird. Brought the bird and Pombon, I think is his name, the Pomeranian dog.
Mm-hmm.
Very cute.
Yeah.
The gecko's fine. But I'm excited. Maybe I'll pick up one of them. Winds or waves, Marcus? Which would you do?
Me?
Yeah.
Waves.
Okay. Okay. And then I do winds.
Okay.
I haven't played a Pokemon game in a while. I haven't picked up Pokopia, which we'll kind of be talking about that in a little while. But yeah, maybe. I guess it's coming out next year, 2027. So maybe by the time it comes out, I'll be ready to play another mainline game. As for other new items, new news items, there was something that you were excited about.
Yeah. It seemed like for no reason that Red Octane Games came out and announced a new game called Stage Tour. It seemed like out of nowhere. I think they've actually been teasing something for a little bit, but I was just not in the loop, so I didn't know. So it just seemed like, what is happening? But anyway, so Stage Tour is a new Guitar Hero style game. And in and of itself, I wouldn't care that there's a new Guitar Hero style game. Like, I don't really care about Fortnite Festival, which is a Guitar Hero style game.
And they released a controller for that. You don't have that.
No. Well, I don't really care about Fortnite.
Yeah.
And I also don't want to, like, right now, buy more music for games type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this was cool because Red Octane is, like, not nobody. They are, like, directly involved with this whole world of guitar games and music games in general. Like, when they first started, they, you know, early on, they started producing dance mats for DDR.
Yeah, I used to have one.
Yeah, lucky you. I remember everyone was like, Red Octane's the best. And I'm like, oh, I want Red Octane. But I couldn't get it. Instead, I got, like, stupid stuff like a Kraft mac and cheese.
Oh, my God.
Dance mat.
Well, now you've made up for it with your big fancy steel one.
Yes, but anyway, yeah, I always wanted the Red Octane Ignition dance pad. I was like, this is so cool. But anyway, after they did the dance mats, they got into games. And so they did that along with Harmonix. They produced the original Guitar Hero. And then they continued to work on Guitar Hero for years until everything changed. But so they are a big name in this space. Like, Guitar Hero is the one, at least in America, because Guitar Freaks never came over here. But I really liked Guitar Hero back in the day. I also really like Rock Band. So I would be happy to play some of that again. I think they're going to come out with versions where you can get a controller with it, or you don't have to, because a lot of people still have their old controllers as I sit here and stare at all of my pile of guitars.
Uh-huh. Will those guitars work on modern hardware, though?
Well, or? I mean, I don't know what the capacity of their thing is going to be. I don't think they've said, like, X controller is compatible, Y controller isn't. These would all be PS3 and 360 controllers that I have. Maybe they're compatible. If not, I guess I'll have to get a new controller. Again, but they look pretty cool. They have, like, agreements or relationships with Gibson and stuff, who are, like, real guitar creators. So I'm sure they'll be fine, but it's just kind of fun. I'm like, wow, yeah, let's bring it back again. I don't think it'll have a mass thing, you know, a mass appeal again, because, you know, Harmonix tried to make Rock Band the next Rock Band, like, via crowdfunding or something, and it didn't get funded. So I don't think this will be a mega hit like, you know, those games were back in the day. I think it'll just be good for those people who really, really, really love those games, like me.
Like you.
So I'm happy for that, but we'll see how it goes. I don't know. You know, if it is more successful, then that would be good because they get more licenses.
Right.
But I guess we'll have to see what happens.
Did they say a release window or anything?
I think for later this year.
Wow.
Was the plan.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That's soon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I haven't been playing Overwatch in a very long time. In fact, I never even touched Overwatch 2, which, did you know, Marcus, it's now just called Overwatch.
Yes, I think she told me that.
I thought that was the funniest news, and we didn't talk about it on the podcast, but it was like Overwatch 2 is now just Overwatch, which it should just been anyway, because it's free to play now, and yeah, all that stuff. So I sort of see news related to Overwatch. I'm like, yeah, Overwatch still looks like it could be fun. They introduced some new characters that look cool, and then I just sort of lost track, and as today's news has revealed to me, I'm really out of the loop because all the characters mentioned I don't recognize except for Mercy. But basically, they announced that there's going to be a Nier Automata collab, which I think is very fun. I'm glad that Nier Automata is getting all these different things. You know, there wasn't there like a fighting game? Was it Dead or Alive? Got 2B and... Yeah, all kinds of different.
I think
a while back, yeah, I think it was Dead or Alive, or
I don't know.
Anyway, there was a fire game that had 2B in it.
Not like Tekken. I don't know. Could have been.
I could be completely wrong too. Anyway, I'm sure someone will let us know. But there have been Nier Automata collabs with various things, and I think it's very cool that it's going to be in Overwatch, and they, as I said, mentioned all the different characters that are getting skins, and I don't know any of them except for Mercy, so I'm not even going to try to say who's getting what, but I think it's very fun. I'm a little jealous. They also had recently a Sanrio collab, and those were all really cute skins, and I'm like, oh. But then I have to remember that because it's all like free to play and the loot box drops are so rare that I probably would have to pay to get any of the cute stuff anyway, so I'm like, it's fine. I won't get sucked in, but cool nonetheless. Okay, and that's it for our news for today. We're going to move into what we've been watching, reading, and not playing, because we have no games to talk about. But I did want to talk about something kind of interesting to me, I guess. Basically, a lot of big games have come out recently, particularly Resident Evil 9 and Poco Pio, which I mentioned briefly earlier. And we've been watching Capsule J play Resident Evil 9, as well as Nexlander started playing Resident Evil 9. So we start with Capsule J, and then we watch the same bit over again with Nexlander because we like them, especially Abby, who is guesting on that, to play. And Poco Pia, haven't really been paying much attention to because I'm not super into those, like, building games. But it looks cute. And then we've got Marathon, which just came out, which is like a, what do you call it? An Overwatch-y like thing, sort of? Or is it more like one of those ones where you drop down like a...
a battle royale?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Well, to be honest, I don't know at all. Yeah. I have seen like a trailer about Marathon. I don't know anything. I'm just, whenever I hear it, I just think about the old game item. Like, what is this? I don't even, is there anything similar? I don't know. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. See, I don't know a lot either, other than that it looks cool. And I think it's just funny because, you know, Resident Evil 9, I haven't been super interested in playing myself, though I enjoy watching people play. Poco Pia, not really interested in. And then randomly Marathon, I'm like, I could pick that up. I don't know if it's because I'm yearning for Overwatch feelings or what, but I was wondering what makes you interested in a new game, Marcus?
Well,
like a new modern game.
Not a lot, probably. I'm interested in games that I know and care about, like Resident Evil and Silent Hill and things like that. If something like that is coming out, I'll be like, okay, well, I know I'm gonna get it because I'm a fan of this series. Something new, I don't know. I don't really like new games, I don't think.
You only play what you know.
New big games anyway. Yeah. Triple A, for the most part, I don't care.
Yeah.
I like indie stuff. But probably, to be honest, what probably interests me the most about new games now would be when they're based upon or referencing old things.
Yeah.
Like the whatever game I played a little bit of that is referencing Kingsfield on the PS1.
Oh, Labyrinth of the Demon King.
Yes.
Is that even new, though?
Well, it's come out in the last couple of years at least, okay. Yeah. So something
and
like
it's
that.
And it's indie.
Yeah, is like, okay, it's making me feel like PS1. I like that.
Uh-huh.
Nostalgic games, yeah. I guess, or games preying on my nostalgia. That's what I'm into, probably.
Yeah.
So, like, beyond that, I don't know what makes me interested in a new game. Not a lot.
Yeah.
Probably I'm more interested in playing older things.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, and there's also Monster Hunter Stories 3 coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I like Monster Hunter, but I never really got into the Stories games. So.
From what little I saw of the Stories 1, or was that the one you played?
Yeah, I played some of 1.
It was kind
of
cute. It was cute.
Yeah, it was cute.
It was cute. I wouldn't mind, you know.
Okay, there you go. I just think it's funny, all the big games coming out, and we're just like, but that's all right. You'll get Silent Hill Townfall when it comes out.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, and then you'll be grouchy.
I mean, we don't know.
It could be fun. I'm interested to see more of that. As I said, we didn't play any new games, so we don't have much to talk about in that front, but we watched a movie we can discuss, and it's called She-Freak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from your, that way, not from your Vinegar Syndrome collection, or was it technically, even though it's by a different company?
It's from AGFA, American Genre Film Archive.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like friends.
Oh, so it would have been like released through.
It was like on their store.
That, yeah.
Yeah. So She-Freak is basically, like, I guess you could say maybe someone along the lines of a remake of the movie Freaks, where the plot is kind of about this woman who joins a carnival and interacts with the, quote, freaks of the carnival and doesn't like them. And then what happens to her in the end. And that's the very, 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 very high level overview. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a pretty decent movie. I don't know, like, I don't think people like it generally because I think it had pretty low ratings.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fine. I liked one thing just random about the movie. I liked all of the, like, B-roll footage of the carnival because there's a lot of just, like, we're just looking. Things are just happening.
Yeah, they were, like, setting up for 10 minutes. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fun because I'm like, I assume this is footage from, like, a real carnival to some extent because you wouldn't do all of this just for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the freak tent or whatever is probably their custom thing that they did. But everything else, I'm like, these guys are just building a Ferris wheel or whatever, you know? And it's scary.
Yes. Yes.
And it's probably no different today how they do it.
Yeah. That's why I will never ride them.
Mm-hmm. Just one screw. Anyway, so I thought that was fun just like as a little piece of like history. Just this footage is fun. I like the protagonist because you like, she's like very driven, but also you're like meant to not like her. So it's like you're rooting against her, but it's fun. I don't know.
You like her even though you were rooting against her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I like that she knows what she wants.
Yeah. She was like very sassy and she's like, I'm going to make it and no matter what. And you're kind of like, at least I wondered why she was that way because you don't really learn anything about her. And usually,
yeah, you don't know anything.
You... Like, we watched another movie that wasn't even good enough to talk about, but in that one, it was, like, very clear, like, oh, it's because she was abused, or, like, because her parents were awful that she's this way. But in this, it was just, like, this is who she is, and this is what you get, and she was working at a diner, right? She was a waitress at a diner, and she was just sassy to her boss and sassy to the customers, and it's just like, this is her personality, and... She wants to get out of this hellhole, you know, and she's going to do it by joining the circus, which I think is fun. Mm-hmm. Or the carnival, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was, fun, even though she wasn't a good person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
I think for a film that was supposed to be about the, quote, freaks, there weren't really that many. There was the one person that kept reappearing but they didn't like really show them much at all until the climactic scene at the end. So, and then also you don't really understand, except for maybe because she's just a mean lady, why she wouldn't like them as much as she does. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't really make sense. Like even the other people that are in the carnival with her, you know, they all work with the freaks, and they, you know, like, yeah, they're just people and they need work too. And this is the only place I'll accept them. And she's just like, ew, they're gross. And it was like, I guess because maybe she's coming from the outside coming into this.
Yeah, maybe.
But that didn't really make a lot of sense either. But kind of as the movie goes along, she does more, like at the beginning, she's all talk, right? You know, she's like, I'll do whatever it takes to get what I want. You're like, okay, sure. And then she actually starts doing it. And you're like, all right, she really is kind of just a mean lady. So you kind of just go along with it by the end. But it's always fun to see, yeah, a woman like going for it, I guess. So basically, she seduces the guy who manages the freak show. And I guess...
Because he's so wealthy, for
yeah,
some
he's
reason.
Yeah, so, for some reason, this has made him very wealthy, and he's quite the catch. And so she seduces him, but she's also got, like, this side fling with the man that operates the Ferris wheel. And they like slapping each other a lot. Slapping is a big thing for some reason. And then, you know, she manipulates the freak show guy and basically takes over in the end. But the freak show folks don't like that because she's mean to them, so they have their revenge by the end. I haven't seen the original Freaks, have you?
Yeah. Okay,
so would you say it's like pretty authentic adaptation of it, or is it just inspired by
it's inspired by it? Okay. I wouldn't say it's exactly the same.
I see. Okay, well, yeah, I didn't think it was horrible. I think the most annoying part, even though you said you liked the carnival B-roll, and I did too, it did kind of go on for quite a while at points. It was just like, I guess they really wanted to use all of the B-roll that they took, you know? So the setup, like, you know, in a modern movie, you could see like, okay, you know, really quick couple of shots to indicate that we're setting up for the carnival. And this was like on and on. It's like, okay, now they're putting up the Ferris wheel. Now they got the merry-go-round set up. And okay, now they're putting up a tent. And some guys are having a smoke by the tent. And now they're having lunch. You know, it was just went on a really long time. But yeah.
I think maybe because the director, like, grew up in the carnival world, so has like a taste or affection for it, so maybe that's why
maybe he wanted to really show all of it. And that makes sense. I think it's cool, that fact as well, that he lived in the carnival, or like when was like part of it, so he grew up traveling around with it. That's neat. Always like when, you know, something's actually coming from the person's experience, so they have the insight. Like, you would think that then maybe he portrayed the carnival in a way that a director that didn't have that experience wouldn't be able to, or wouldn't think to. So it's fun.
Yeah, I liked it. We're keeping it.
Yep, that's a keeper. And then finally, you've been continuing on your quest to read 50 books in 2026. And what was your latest completion?
I read the book called Challenger. There's like a subtitle, but I'm sorry, I didn't write it down, so I don't remember. But basically, it's a book about talking about the Challenger space shuttle disaster from the 80s. But it isn't just that. It like starts like much earlier on in NASA's history, kind of talks through the early days of NASA and like some of their, you know, their great successes and, you know, the key people involved, because it like leads into, you know, how did they get to this point where NASA like let their, basically their safety slide because they became so like kind of caught up in the success that they had, that they're, you know, it's kind of like it builds a momentum and you start to think, well, it's fine, we can do it, you know, as long as we're trying hard and everyone's doing their best, we will succeed and continue to succeed. And they had many successful flights. But, you know, it led to them kind of lessening their strict guidelines and things, and, you know, how that ultimately led to the disaster, and then a little bit of, you know, what also happened after. So it's a big book. It took a while to read it, but it was very enlightening and interesting. I really liked it. You know, it's not just sad because, again, it talks about, like, a lot of the, you know, the high points of NASA, the heroes, those people involved, you know, who were good and positive, especially a lot of talk about, like, the astronauts' lives themselves, so you can kind of get a better understanding of them and who they were. And, you know, it's nice. All that stuff is nice. But, of course, it's also tragic because after you hear all this great stuff about all these astronauts, you get to, you know, and then they die. So it's sad. But overall, it was a really good read. I really liked it. It gave me more knowledge about NASA. You know, I don't really know that much beyond, like, very base level things. So I liked it. This author also wrote a book about Chernobyl. So I'll probably read that too, but maybe not right now.
Yeah, you need a little palate cleanser.
Yeah. Yeah, I started reading some lesbian book that was recommended in CitrusCon.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's another panel we went to, was like queer book recommendation.
Mm-hmm. And you took screenshots of like all of their slides.
It was fun. There were like some monster recommendations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, yeah. His Slender Embrace, a Slender Man book.
Yeah, you got to read that one. I want to hear about the Slender Man romance. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I looked that up a little bit more. That's the fourth book in the Monster Lovers series.
Oh.
So now I need to see what other monsters are being loved.
Yeah. I feel like Slender Man's a deep cut.
Maybe it's funny.
Mothman in there. Or, you know.
Maybe.
Fun. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying your reading.
Well, I enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of lows.
Yeah. Highs and lows, mm-hmm. You know. Okay, well, it's a bit of a shorter episode this week. We hope you don't mind, but we'll be back again in 2 weeks with more games and movies and fun life news to talk about. So we shall see you soon. Thanks for listening.